immediately. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. We'll be back tomorrow.
Listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the Faithful Gifts.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Pastor Billy Crone, and we're going to be talking about the fearful creation. Fearful creation. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that this is the most amazing DVD series. We've watched it all. There are 8 DVDs in this series. Did man at any time exist with dinosaurs? Now, we're told, of course, that dinosaurs disappeared 50 million years ago, but then we're told a lot of things that really aren't true. Who was around 50 million years ago to know that dinosaurs died out at that time? But then if dinosaurs died out at that time, why are there all the stories in the Bible about dragons and leviathans and other beasts, which obviously were dragons? I mean, did God make a mistake when he wrote the scriptures? Or is it that the scientists are lying to us because they have an agenda and they have an intense hatred of God? And if they can discredit the book of Genesis, they can discredit the Bible. And if they can discredit the Bible, they can destroy people's faith in the God of the Bible. Well, with that as a background, Pastor Billy Crone, you pick up the story because you know it better than I do. Go ahead.
Well, hey, thanks, Dr. Monty, for having me on again. And this one is just a topic that's really dear to my heart. And, you know, I even think of my own children, because if you think about it, where does the lie of evolution start? It's actually even before kids get into school. It's just you pick up a children's book. Could be in preschool. But they're not even in preschool, let alone kindergarten yet. Pick up a book or a toy, something that has to do with dinosaurs, and invariably, if it's a book, the very first line says, millions of years ago. Okay? It starts off with a fairy tale, long ago and far away. It's a classic fairy tale. And then they say, they follow up the next line, is basically, and no one has ever seen a dinosaur. Really? But see, the problem is, it's what we've talked before many times, Dr. Monteith, it's the old adage, if you repeat a lie loud enough, long enough, and often enough, people will believe it. And from wee high, all of us had it drilled in our brains, hey, don't even think anything to the contrary. Don't you realize that dinosaurs existed, but they existed millions and millions of years ago. They died out suddenly 70 million years ago, roughly, and no one has ever seen a dinosaur. Really? That's not what the Bible says. And you're absolutely right, Dr. Monteith, there is an agenda to discredit the Scripture, the Bible, and the Judeo-Christian ethic. And, of course, the Bible tells us why. Because the Bible warns that in the last days, which I truly believe that we're in, that we are going to be ushered into what's called the Antichrist Kingdom. And you will see, and the proof of it is you will see, the rise of a one-world government, a one-world economy, a one-world religion, a mark of the beast, so that if you don't have this mark, you cannot buy or sell on anything. And we see all that happening today. But in order for this system, this Antichrist system, folks, which we're seeing to on the rise right now, happening before our very eyes, all over the planet, that the Bible predicted 2,000 years ago, you have to do away with the Judeo-Christian ethic. Because the Bible teaches that we are a special creation, created in the image of God, and we're going to be accountable unto God, okay? But see, if you do away with the quote-unquote existence of God, then that lets the one who's the strongest, the fittest, evolution, Hitler did the same thing, that's what he relied upon, the strongest, the fittest, to get to determine who is going to get to be alive and who's not going to be alive. And folks, I'm telling you, it comes from evolution, okay? And they start with dinosaurs, and that's why it's true to my heart, Dr. Monteith, because they start with little kids. They start brainwashing little kids that you cannot trust the Bible and that God is not real. And you wonder why everybody in our world today is so hopeless. What's their message? Here's their great message. There is no God, there is no hope, there is no meaning to life. And when you die, you go back to be worm bait. That's a lie. It's hopeless. No wonder our world is so hopeless. It's because they're being lied to by the lie of evolution.
And, of course, if they can convince you that evolution is true, then the Bible is a hoax. On the other hand, if the Bible is true, evolution is a hoax, and all those teachers and all those scientists, well, most of the teachers don't know, but some of the top scientists do. In fact, they'll admit it. Actually, we know what we're teaching isn't true, but the other alternative is there's a God. Well, you go right ahead, Pastor Billy.
Well, and the other alternative is there's a God, and the Bible even tells us, Dr. Monteith, in the book of Peter, that's exactly the motive, that they don't want there to be a God, that they are willingly ignorant, which means, as one guy translated, they're dumb on purpose, with all due respect. Even though you put the evidence right before their very eyes, they're willingly ignorant. They choose to be ignorant to the proof, and it tells you the motive right there in the book of Peter is that they want to follow their ungodly desires. They don't want there to be a God. So it's not based on science. It's just they turn on purpose, they turn a blind eye and a deaf ear to the evidence, okay? And that's true, and we document this on this study, folks, and throughout our other evolution studies that we've done to expose this lie, is that it's a closed system. You know, it's funny, Dr. Monteith, many times we give scientific evidence, we give historical evidence, we give archaeological evidence, okay? And some of these people aren't even Christians, so you can say, well, they're just being biased or whatever. We're just giving you the evidence. And then oftentimes you'll get people say, well, I can't take your evidence serious because I do not find it reported in a peer review. Well, it's ridiculous because here's the game that they play, folks, and we even show you actual video clips of evolutionists who admit this is the closed system. It's not an open system. It's not like science. Like you think, well, you know, if you don't agree with it or not, at least you got to have it tried and tested and see if it fits the facts. And if your theory, quote-unquote, doesn't fit the facts, then we're going to have to make some adjustments. That's not how it works, folks. Okay, it's a closed loop. And what happens is they say, well, we can't accept your material. We can't accept your archaeological find. We can't accept your scientific data because it's not in a peer review. Well, the thing is, try to get it in the peer review. You can't, and we document this, folks. They won't let you put it in a peer review. There's been evolutionists that we record on the study, actual interviews, folks, that they said when they found evidence to the contrary, that not only backs up the biblical account, okay, quote-unquote, whether they want to believe it or not, they're just dealing with the evidence, okay, when it backs up the biblical account and disproves evolution, these people, folks, are threatened. One guy was even escorted off the site with machine guns, okay? That's not science, okay? And so yeah, that's great. What, talk about a straw man argument. I can't accept your evidence because it's not a peer review. You won't let it go in a peer review. The only thing you let in the peer review is that which fits your preconceived paradigm.
And let me just mention that there is a wonderful movie with Ben Stein. It's called Expelled. And it tells what happened to some scientists who allowed the truth to get into a peer-reviewed article. They went after them. And the fellow from the Smithsonian, he didn't even necessarily believe, in creation. But he allowed an article that suggested there might be intelligent design in a periodical. And they destroyed him. That's what happens if you tell the truth. Today will be. Well, this is Dr. Stan Billy. Pastor Billy, you go right ahead.
Well, and with the issue of dinosaurs, I really like this one, Ron, because it's to my heart with having children myself, but and being able to give a biblical answer for dinosaurs, because dinosaurs really did exist. But again, as they open the program, Dr. Monteith, this is the tool that they start brainwashing kids from Wee High. They use dinosaurs to snooker people into the lie of evolution, okay? And basically what they say is, hey, listen, you guys are whacked out. You got it all wrong, Christian guy. You're a big dummy. God, he's not even real, let alone he created the dinosaurs, let alone with man just a few thousand years ago. Okay, we all know that they died out 65, 70 million years ago, and no one has ever seen a dinosaur. Really? Okay, let's put it to the test, and that's what we do, folks. That's not at all what they find in the archaeological record, in the historical record, and even with the scientific data, okay? What we've already seen is that the Bible, just like you would expect, folks, if God created the dinosaurs, does mention dinosaurs. Now, not the word dinosaurs, because that wasn't invented until 1841 by a guy named Sir Richard Owens, okay? The Bible was already established, but the Bible clearly mentions dinosaurs. Not once, but dinosaurs, or the Tyrannosaurus, just to name a few, okay? But they're not, folks, when you take a look at them. If you do a whole spread of all the dinosaurs that they've discovered, okay, this is one of the biggest misconceptions. They're not all these big, giant, massive beasts, okay? The average size of a dinosaur is that of a sheep, okay? And some of them are even smaller, like a chicken or a cat, okay? So the average size of the dinosaur, you look at it, about the size of a sheep, okay? that seriously reduces their size to be on the ark. Okay, but secondly, yes, there were big ones like the Tyrannosaurus, like the Brachiosaurus, again, to be an example, Stegosaurus, whatever you want to pick, the bigger ones, right? Okay, well, think about it, folks. Noah was a smart guy, I'm sure. He probably figured out that you don't bring the big, giant adult ones on board who are fully grown. No, of course not. You bring the tiny little baby ones, the juvenile ones on board. Okay, and stop and think about it critically. Stop and think about this logically. That makes total perfect sense, okay? Not just for their size to save space, but listen, because it's more efficient. It's more efficient for the whole purpose of why in the world he's bringing two of every kind on the ark, okay? Because, number one, babies sleep more, right? They eat less, right? They take up less space, and they live longer to produce more offspring, which is why you're bringing them on board in the first place, so that after the flood's over, when you get off the ark, they're to repopulate the earth, okay? It makes total perfect sense, okay? But then you might take in, again, thinking critically, thinking logically, like you're supposed to, you know, wait a second. So if they brought babies or juveniles on board instead of adults, that makes a lot more sense. That's going to save some space with their size, okay? But wait a second. If you read the Bible, it wasn't just 40 days and 40 nights. That's how long the rain came from above. That's not the only source of water where it came. Read the Bible. It also says it came from below, and I think that's where the majority of the water came from. Okay, but if you read the Bible there, it says that he was in that ark, folks, for over a year as to waiting for the waters to subside. Okay, and so you're thinking, well, wait a second. If he brought babies on board of these dinosaurs, yeah, they started out small, but don't you think they got pretty big after a year? Well, folks, actually not. And this is funny, Dr. Monteith. This is recent discovery with dinosaurs, and what they found out, what's interesting, is there's been some work published in secular journals, folks, about dinosaur growth rates, okay? They're actually being able to time their growth rates, okay? And when you look at a time scale from the secular calculations, you can see that even at 4 years of age, that dinosaurs still have not hit their major growth spurts. So think about it logically and critically. Noah taking on board a couple of the large dinosaurs as juveniles, as babies, they were still small even after 1 year. Okay, and they wouldn't have gotten to grow big and hit their growth spurt until after they got off the ark. It's almost, Dr. Monteith, like God thought of everything, and that's exactly what he did.
I really think it is amazing, you know. If you look at, see, the, just the nature, you look at animals, you look at human beings. I mean, everything is in perfect design, perfect alignment, and the idea that this just all happened by accident or happened because, of course, life came from outer space, boy, you've sure got to be gullible to believe that. Pastor Billy, go right ahead.
Oh, that's such a tempting discussion, Dr. Monteith. I gotta kick it just a little bit since you brought it up. Life came from outer space. Oh, well, that's a hot topic.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verki water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verki water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Matter came from a rock. Now, we do not believe that at all. You pick up the story.
Well, and he says, well, ma'am, just come down from it. Let's, again, examine your belief system, okay? He says, do you believe in evolution? She said, yes, I do. I'm a professor. This is true, Dr. Monty. This is an actual conversation. She said, yes, I do. I'm a professor here at the university. And he said, well, okay, will you please tell me where we came from? She said, we came from a macromolecule. And he said, well, okay, well, where'd that come from? She said, it came from the oceans, from the prebiotic soup. And he said, okay, where'd that come from? She said, well, it rained on the rocks for millions of years. And he says, then she actually paused, and he said, you could see it on her face that it was slowly dawning on her that I really do believe that I came from a rock. And folks, I'm telling you, this is what they just spout out these facts as if they're facts, and they're not facts. Okay, I will believe the biblical account any day of the week, okay? I don't have enough faith to believe that we came from a rock. Okay, I don't have enough faith to believe that all of a sudden, out of seemingly nowhere, a ball of dirt appeared and blew up. That's some of the most illogical statements.
But you know, it's amazing, Pastor Billy, because I remember when I used to believe all of these things. I could argue all these things from the other side, and nobody ever pointed out how absurd all of this was. And phylogeny recapitulates ontogeny. Gee, I used to love to utilize that to justify evolution without ever understanding that phylogeny does not recapitulate ontogeny. But basically, they indoctrinate the young people in this, and we need people who will challenge that, and you've done a great job. But I will tell you that the one thing the other side fears is that people are going to realize they've been lied to and that our universities are not educating people. They're indoctrinating them. The only good thing I can say is they're all running out of money, and we've got some good scientists there, but we've got an awful lot of fraudulent people in the certainly teaching in our universities, too. What we need to do is keep the good ones and get rid of all the other scoundrels. But go right ahead.
Well, you know, let me give you another, just one more example, and then Lord willing, move on with the dinosaur issue. But we're kind of on this track, and I want to follow it just for the listeners so you guys realize that I'm telling you, it takes more faith. And frankly, I would say you have to be extremely illogical to maintain an evolutionary belief. Let me give you an example. This is one of my favorite examples, and this is true. This is straight logic. This is what you should be asking. Okay, let's apply some logic to Mount Rushmore, okay, and ask an evolutionist this. Ask them these logical questions, all right? So you approach an evolutionist and say, hey, do you believe that there's any way that the faces of Washington, Jefferson, and Theodore Roosevelt and Lincoln could have appeared on this rock, Mount Rushmore, by chance? Okay, do you think the wind did that? Do you think erosion did that? How about exfoliation? How about thermal expansion of the rock? Okay, pick your method, okay? If you asked them what caused the faces to appear on Mount Rushmore, they would obviously say, they were designed by somebody. And, of course, they're right, by an artist named Gutzon Borglum, however you pronounce that guy's name. But then ask them the question, all right, now stop and think about it then. Do you believe that the men represented here did happen by chance? Now, if they believe in evolution, they have to say yes. But then you respond, well, wait a second there. You don't think that their face could appear on a rock by chance, but you think that their whole complex anatomy with 50 trillion cells could happen by chance? That's totally illogical. And then keep going. Ask them, well, how long would it take for these figures to appear on this mountainside by chance? Would it take millions of years? Would it take billions of years? Given 100 trillion years, could these figures eventually form on the side of the mountain? Well, obviously the evolutionists would say it's impossible no matter how much time you give it, right? But then bring them back to what they're trying to tell us. Isn't that how you say we got here after billions of years of chance, even though we're incredibly more complex than the faces on Mount Rushmore? Folks, the logical conclusion is just as the faces on Mount Rushmore had to be designed, how much more so was the human body designed and all of life? Folks, I'm telling you, put it to the test. The only thing that they have behind them is the power of the educational system, which they've grabbed control of for nefarious purposes, and the media. It's all there. And nobody, well, I'm going to say nobody, not that we're the only ones, but by and large, they suppress this knowledge. And we document, Dr. Monteith, you see on the videos, we document that people who try to get this information out, you're not only escorted off your site, but you're fired, you're threatened. And there's some people actually have documented that they know that if they were to expose this, they're going to lose their job, so they purposely, we got them on video, they purposely lie just to keep their job. Folks, I'm telling you, this is one of the biggest scams ever, and you need to understand, this is the premise they're using against us to lead us in to this new world order, and it's a bunch of baloney.
And of course, it really is a conspiracy against God. Basically, they want a one world government, they want a one world religion. To have the one world religion, they have to destroy Christianity. They've infiltrated the highest levels of Catholicism and of the Protestant Church, and yes, of the Jewish religion as well. There are people who hate the God of the Bible, and they're working in key positions within Christianity and Judaism and Catholicism today. Pastor Billy, you go right ahead.
Well, let's not only talk about the size issue. Let's get back to the dinosaur issue. Okay, let's think logically. Let's think critically, like how we should be thinking. Let's put the biblical account to the test. Is it possible for Noah to take a dinosaur actually with him on the ark? Yes, and we just discussed about their size. That's not an issue. Okay, but wait a second. What about the space? That really, to me, is the bigger issue. What about the space, okay? What happens, Dr. Monteith, you start talking about this, people start to envision the ark, and they go, and then, you know, it's depicted with all these animals with their heads, elephants and giraffes, and they're all sticking their heads out, and they're all cramped in, and hopefully some woodpecker doesn't come along and start poking holes in it, ha, 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 you know, all this stuff, and then all of a sudden you're going to say that dinosaurs are on there, so now they got this vision in their mind that now there's all these giant dinosaurs and a brontosaurus, and the ark's about ready to sink, and the heads are all sticking out and they're squished. People, that's not at all what was going on if you look at the biblical accounts and read it. And that's the problem, folks. People don't. Okay, let's take a look at the biblical account. And, folks, there was plenty enough room, not only for two of every kind of air-breathing land animal, okay, that the Bible said Noah took along with him, but even the dinosaurs. Genesis chapter 7, read that chapter as well after you're done with Genesis chapter 6. Okay, don't take my word for it. Look at it for yourself. And it says here, on that very day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife and the wives of his three sons, entered the ark. And they had with them every wild animal according to its kind, all livestock according to their kinds, every creature that moves along the ground according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind. So the Bible clearly says right there, folks, God puts in a couple of limiting factors, and that's very important as you investigate the biblical account. Okay, Noah, first of all, did not have to bring two of every single living thing that was on the planet. Okay, he only had to bring two of every kind of land animals, number one, that's your limiting factor, land animals, not the water ones. And that would seriously reduce the amount of space that you needed. Ernst Mayr, he's America's leading taxonomist for speciations, he even makes this note. He says, okay, well, stop and think about it. He says, first of all, most of this, a vast majority animals in the water did not need to be brought on the ark. He said, first of all, Noah did
hold
not.
That, hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Pastor Billy Crone. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Pastor Billy is simply pointing out that Noah would take two animals of every kind on the ark, and he certainly wouldn't be bringing the giant dinosaurs. He'd bring little baby dinosaurs on the ark, and certainly they wouldn't take up much space, and they wouldn't grow that rapidly. And, of course, it doesn't have to be two of every kind of dog. It would be two of every dog, and they could have all sorts of offspring, big dogs, little dogs, tiny dogs, mammoth dogs. And, of course, the genes are all there, and it just depends on how they get mixed up, but they're still dogs, you know, and they basically reproduce according to their kind. Dogs don't mate with the cats, and cats don't mate with dogs. There's all sorts of cats, all sorts of dogs, but two of every kind. Pastor Billy, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get to your website.
Yeah, you can check us out at our main website at getalifemedia.com. That's G-E-T-A-L-I-F-E. media.com, getalifemedia.com, or you could just search for my name on the internet, Billy Crone, C-R-O-N-E, and that'll take you where you need to go.
All right, that's the easiest thing to do, just Billy Crone, C-R-O-N-E. Okay, fine. So let's get back then. Of course, you were talking about this gentleman who had actually commented that, of course, he did not have to bring any of the aquatic animals on board, and there's an awful lot of the different types of fish, but they were not affected by the Great Flood. Go right ahead.
Well, that's just right. He says Noah did not need to make provision. I mean, talk about limiting the space you need on the ark. He says that he didn't need to bring 21,000 species of fish. He didn't need to bring the 1,700 different tunicates or the 600 echinoderms, including the starfish, the sea urchins. He didn't need to bring 107,000 different mollusks, such as the mussels and clams and oysters. He didn't need to bring any of the 10,000 different cylindrids, like the corals and sea anemones and jellyfish. He didn't need to bring any of the 5,000 different species of sponges or 30,000 different protozoans. He didn't need to bring the whales and the seals and the dolphins. They didn't need to go along. He didn't need to bring the amphibians, nor many of the reptiles, such as sea turtles or alligators. He didn't need to bring the arthropods, numbering 838,000 different species, like the lobsters, the shrimps, the crabs, and et cetera, et cetera. And he didn't need to bring the insects, including 35,000 just species of worms. He said all of these could have easily survived outside the ark, just floating on debris. And boy, would there have been a lot of debris, okay? So the Bible gives us a couple limiting factors to answer the question, well, what about the space? Was there enough space? He did not need to bring every single kind of creature on the earth, okay? It was just air-breathing land animals, not the water ones. But God also put a second limiting factor in there, and that's that word kind, as you brought out, Dr. Monteith. Noah needed to bring only two of every kind, not two of every species, two of every kind. As you rightly brought up, Dr. Monteith, he only needs to bring two of every species, or two of every kind of dogs, okay? You just need two of the dog kind, a male and a female, not every single species of dog. Okay, just two of the dog kind. And that would seriously reduce the number, okay? And what's funny, Dr. Monteith, oftentimes when you bring up that scenario, and that's what the biblical account says, okay, that you only need to have two of every kind, usually people say, whoa, you mean to tell me that all the dogs in the world came from two dogs in Noah's Ark? Yeah. Folks, logically, critically, I have no problem whatsoever that with the two dogs over the last 4,500 years producing all the different species of dogs that we see today. I mean, just stop and think about it logically. One litter can produce all different kinds, different shapes, different sizes, big ones, runts, and different colors, right? And so we extrapolate that over a few thousand years. hey, folks, there's no problem creating the different varieties that we see today. Okay, rather, again, it's evolution that's got a problem, folks, explaining where the dogs came from. As we already saw, folks, they believe that all the dogs in the world came from a rock, okay, let alone all of life. I'm sorry, I don't have enough faith to believe that. Okay, I'll stick with the biblical account. Okay, that's much more logical to me. But not only that, when you look at the kind issue, and you get back to the dinosaur issue, Dr. Monti, there's many, many, and they're finding them all at different times, a species of dinosaurs. You go, well, wait a second, how did all the dinosaurs fit? Well, again, folks, this kind issue helps explain even the dinosaurs being taken on the ark as well. Okay, one researcher said, for instance, the Apatosaurus and the Diplodocus may be a different species of dinosaur. He said, but if you look at them, they're clearly the same dinosaur kind. And so when you apply that standard, okay, to all the different dinosaur species, they've calculated, folks, of the dinosaurs, in order to bring them on the ark, there's only about 50 different dinosaur kinds, okay? So that would seriously reduce the amount of space, okay? Just like with the dogs. You don't need 250 different dogs. You just need two. You don't need all the dinosaur species they find today. You just need two of each kind, and there's only about 50 of them, okay? But still, if you're thinking logically, if you're thinking critically, you should be asking this question. All right, that's great, Pastor Billy. So that the size issue is kind of answered. The space issue, got two limiting factors in there, so that does conserve a massive amount of space. But give me a break. That's still a whole bunch of animals to squish on that boat, okay? And you know what? You're right. You should be asking that question. So let's put it to the test. That's what science is supposed to be about, right? Let's put it to the test. Could Noah's Ark, with its dimensions, have contained enough space to hold two of every kind of air-breathing land animal, including the dinosaurs and the 50 kinds, right? Well, let's take a look at the test. Let's do some science. This is in Genesis 6. And here's the dimensions of the ark, according to the Bible. God says to Noah, so make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you're to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. Make a roof for it, and finish the ark within 18 inches to the top. Put a door in the side of the ark, and make lower, middle, and upper decks. Okay? So according to the Bible, if you're going to take it at face value, the Bible tells us the exact dimensions for building the ark. And I don't think that's by chance. It's almost like God knew skeptics would come along. And that's exactly what the Bible says is going to happen in the last days, specifically, again, in the book of Peter. He said the ark is there. It's a triple-decker. We just read that. Make it decks, lower, middle, upper decks. Okay? Make it out of a certain kind of wood. Make it waterproof. Coat it with pitch inside and out. And it's specifically to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 40 feet high. We just read it, right? So the question is, critically, logically, is this enough space, according to these dimensions, according to the Bible, to hold two of every kind of air-breathing land animal, including the 50 different kinds of dinosaurs? Yes. In fact, folks, when you do the math, and that's just it, you will see that there was plenty enough room on the ark, with room to spare, by the way. Watch this. First of all, folks, the ark was not a ship with sloping sides like you see painted on murals and unfortunately even in kids' books or whatever. It was a large barge. Okay, if you want a good visual, it was like a big giant oil tanker. Okay, it was kind of like that shape. Okay, so that means, obviously, God knows what he's doing. It had a larger carrying capacity. Okay, so if you do the math, folks, and you look at the dimensions and use the dimensions given to us in the Bible, okay, check it out yourself. The ark had about 100,000 square feet of floor space. It had a total cubic volume of 1,518,000 cubic feet. Okay, now here's what's very interesting. That's a big number. Let's put it down in something you can grasp. That's about equivalent to about 569 modern railroad stock cars. Okay, not 69. 569 modern railroad stock cars. That's how much that thing can hold. That's a big, giant boat. Okay, so researchers agree, folks, that, hey, there was plenty enough room on the ark to hold two of every kind, including the dinosaurs with room to spare. And that's because researchers have discovered, okay, that on the high side, no more than 35,000 individual animals need to go on the ark. Because, again, the average size of the animal, including the dinosaurs, was that of a sheep. And we already saw that the few larger ones, like the Brachiosaurus, the Tyrannosaurus, don't bring the big giant ones. You bring the smaller ones, the babies, the juveniles, okay, including the elephant and the giraffe, et cetera, et cetera, okay? But even so, listen to this, folks. Researchers decide to be generous and decide to pad that number anyway, okay? So they assumed an incredibly high amount of 50,000 animals, just to make sure, okay, to be put on the ark. And that's 15,000 more than what's actually required, okay? But they decided, well, we're going to pad it. We're going to bump it up big time. Let's just shoot for 50,000, not 35,000. Here's what they found out. Now, back to the railroad cars. Remember, it's equivalent to 569 modern railroad stock cars. That's how much it could hold. Listen to this. Okay, they found out, folks, using railroad cars for comparison, that the average double-deck stock car, railroad car, can accommodate about 240 sheep. Remember, that's the average size of the animals, about the size of a sheep. Okay, so if you do the math, that means that all the 50,000 animals, which is 15,000 more than you need, can be carried on only 208 of the 569 railroad cars, which is only about 37% of the ark. That would, listen, this is how much room was to spare. That would leave an additional 361 cars, okay, just to carry the food and the baggage. There was plenty enough room, folks, for all the animals and all the dinosaurs, and obviously including Noah and his family. But again, you should be asking the next question, logically, critically. All right, well, that's certainly enough room for the animals, including the dinosaurs, but hey, wait a second, they're in that thing for over a year. They're going to have a lot of food. There's going to be a lot of baggage, right? Well, listen to this, folks. Let's do the math on that. Okay, the Bible, first of all, puts in a limiting factor when it comes to the food supply. The Bible says before the flood that all the earth, man and animals, were vegetarians. Okay, so if you use that as a guide, okay, the vegetarian point, the ark did not need to carry tons and tons and tons of bulky pounds of meat. Okay, but just like small dried foodstuffs, concentrated foods, okay, so that's going to conserve a lot of space. So using that as a guide, researchers have calculated that the total volume of foodstuffs on the ark would only been about 15% of the ark's total volume, and the drinking water would have only taken up another 9.4%, which is still plenty enough room to spare. Okay? Folks, I'm not making this up. You just do the math. Even if you don't want to believe in the scripture, just take a look at what it says and put it to the test. Okay? Folks, I'm telling you, I'll take that any day of the week. Not just because it fits logically, critically, scientifically, mathematically, okay? But I'll take that any day of the week, believing that we came from a rock. It's crazy. Stop and think about it, folks. Please, okay? But again, you might think, okay, well, that's interesting. So that does make, frankly, perfect sense about how dinosaurs were able, in fact, to get on the ark, and the size and the space was not an issue once you do the math and do the homework yourself. But wait a second, man. I got another logical, critical question here. That means then dinosaurs not only got on the ark, but that means they had to get off the ark. And excuse me, I don't see any dinosaurs lurking around here today. How do you explain that one? Well, actually, folks, it's pretty simple, once again, if you just read the biblical account. Okay? And you're going to see that, folks, dinosaurs got off the ark just like all the other animals did. Okay? But see, the problem was the dinosaurs went through some drastic change, like the other animals did, but the dinosaurs went through some drastic changes because when Noah got off the ark, folks, it was like he stepped off on another planet. One guy said this. He said, after the flood, the earth was a very different place. When Noah stepped off the ship, it must have felt like he got out on another planet. Nothing would have looked familiar. Most of the world was left covered with water. Even today, folks, 7 out of 10 spots of the globe still underwater, 70%. Okay, all the landmarks were destroyed. Nothing was the same. The Garden of Eden was gone. The whole land of Eden, every other land was gone. Mud and rock was everywhere, and cold, forbidding mountains stood where none had been before. So everything had radically changed, folks, once he got off the ark, okay? And so here's the point. Because of these drastic changes on the earth after the flood, it naturally affected the dinosaurs after they got off the ark, okay? And let's just logically look at some of those effects as to why we don't find a huge population of dinosaurs on the earth today. First of all, they'd have a change of climate. Now, we go into great, massive detail on this, folks, in the study we did called A Judge Creation. That's evidence for a worldwide flood. And we, again, take a look at the biblical account, and the Bible gives us the impression that there was a pre-flood atmosphere before the flood. There was an extra layer in the atmosphere that kind of created a canopy effect, okay? And what this did was it blocked out the harmful radiation from the sun. It also, and they've actually demonstrated, they found this, that there was a higher content of oxygen. There was about double the air pressure, okay? And so when you put these factors together, it created a massive, incredible lush environment. Okay, really fascinating study, Dr. Monteith, if you haven't checked it out. The effects that it would have on the human body is phenomenal. One guy said, he says, if you could increase the oxygen, double the oxygen, double the air pressure, your body would become completely saturated with oxygen. And one guy said, he says, hey, you didn't need a car back in those days to go drive to a grandma's house. He said, you could run. He said, with these kind of conditions, you could run and run and run and run and run for miles, and you'd never get tired. Your body would heal up very quickly. And not only that, this helps to explain why in the biblical account, before the flood, you see people living incredible ages. Okay, all of this pre-flood atmosphere can be demonstrated, folks, today scientifically. In fact, they've recreated, just looking at the Bible, this pre-flood atmosphere, and they found some amazing effects. And it not only helps people heal faster, in fact, they have them today. They're called hyperbaric oxygen chambers, folks. Even sports teams use them so that the people heal up faster from their injuries, okay? Can you imagine the whole planet being in a hyperbaric oxygen chamber? Hey, folks, it would have been an incredible existence, and it was. But not only that, one of the side effects that this kind of environment does is it produces giantism, okay? And this explains why we find in the fossil record giant all kinds of things, giant trees. You think the giant sequoias there in California, Dr. Monteith, is big? Hey, that's nothing to how big they got before the flood. This is not on the video, but included in the book. One of the fossils they found, one of them is in Texas of a tree. Based on the fossil of the stump that they found, the tree was 1,000 feet high. That's a big old tree, which also explains why they found beavers, fossilized beavers, 8 feet long. Why would you need an 8 foot long beaver? Well, you got big old trees, you need a bigger beaver. Okay, they find dragonflies with a wingspan 4 to 5 feet wide. How'd you like to have that thing drive down the road and hit your windshield? Okay, everything before the flood got bigger because it was a massive, incredible, lush environment, which also included the dinosaurs. Okay, they got big. Okay, now here's my whole point. After the flood, okay, there's a change of climate. That when the waters came down from above, okay, that the canopy, the protective canopy was gone. And that's why, if you read the biblical account, the life expectancy of people went drastically down. It went down from 600, 700, 800, 900. It went down to about 400 to 200 to what we got today. Because now you don't have that canopy there blocking out the harmful radiation. You don't have the double the air pressure anymore. You don't have the amount of oxygen that you used to, and so you lost that lush environment. So that would drastically affect the dinosaurs, okay? And so that's common sense. But not only that, they would not just have a change of climate, they would have a change of stability, okay? Not only would the climate affect their numbers, is why we don't see a big, giant population today. But, folks, after the flood, you had all kinds of calamities and catastrophes that weren't there before. Now, all of a sudden, you got earthquakes because the earth's cracked up. Because when the water came shooting forth from the earth's crust, now we're left with what we have still today, which is a post-flood effect. We got earthquakes. We got volcanoes. We got extreme temperatures. We got places in the world now where there's big deserts and dinosaurs couldn't survive there. You got places where after the flood we had an ice age, so it got cold so they couldn't survive there. And so all these combined effects had an effect on the dinosaurs after they got off the ark, and not all of them could survive.
Well, when we look and see what the life was before the flood and then after the flood is a scientific fact. I mean, every civilization records the flood. But, of course, the scientists today don't want you to believe that because they don't want you to believe the Bible. But the flood was real, and certainly the biblical story was accurate. We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor Billy. Well, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, the other thing, Dr. Monteith, is probably the biggest culprit, I would say, after the flood, is they had a change of relationship with man, okay? And the flood...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.
There were a couple of big dinosaurs around, and as you pointed out, if you kill a dinosaur, you got a lot of hamburger there, a lot of eating, but there is evidence and ample evidence that man and dinosaur lived together. In fact, some poor archaeologist actually found a dinosaur skeleton with a spearhead lodged in the bone. Well, of course, he lost his credentials immediately. Why? Because, of course, you're not supposed to believe that men and dinosaurs live together. You'll certainly want to get this 8-part series, part one, part two, Fearful Creation by Pastor Billy Crone. And we do carry that. We think it's important. We also carry his 10 DVD series, part one and part two, of Final Countdown, going into the prophecies that are taking place today. We carry his DVDs on RFID identification. There are four of them. Information you will never see elsewhere. Pastor Crone does a great job, and we recommend these to you. His delivery is unique, but of course, once you get used to it, the information he has and the video clips make these certainly something that everybody should be seeing, and this is why we carry them and why we have him with us. Our telephone number is 1-888-1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com, and you can go there. You can certainly look at all the DVDs we have and the videos and the 4-tape sets and the CD sets and the books we carry. Books that you need to read, like, well, we now have Scarlet and the Beast, Volume 1. It's been unavailable for a long time. Amazon still lists it at $175. I think maybe they've dropped the price, but that's because we've got the price down. And so it's available from Radio Liberty. Scarlet Beauty and the Beast, Part 1, goes into the background of the Masons and their plan for world domination. Now, remember, the Masons are simply part of the movement. It is not all the Masons. It certainly is not all the Skull and Bones. It's not all the Bohemian Grove. It's not all the Trilateral Commission. They're all working together. They're all founded in the occult. And they're all dedicated to a one-world government and a one-world religion with the destruction of Christianity. And when you understand that, it all begins to make sense. The book you need to read, Brotherhood of Darkness, Brotherhood of Darkness, or you can watch the DVD. And if you can't afford it, it's on our website at RadioLiberty.com. We hope you'll get the DVD, copy it, and circulate it, as long with the other DVDs we have. One of the most important things you can get are the DVDs on what happened on September 11th. Why is that important? Because if you can convince people that this was controlled demolition. Watch the North Tower come down. We're told it was a pancake. It was a superincumbent weight of the top of the building, but the top of the building destructs. As you watch it, in 4 seconds, the top of the building is gone. And then the building collapses. Well, how can you have a pancake collapse when the top of the building's gone? What happened to it? Watch this. Get our DVDs. We have a number of them available. We have even a special on the DVDs on 911. We have actually 5 of them available on the September 11th attack. And then, of course, if you want to watch Building 7 come down, go to my website, RadioLiberty.com. Go to the section on other videos on the web. Scroll to the bottom of the page. Watch Building 7 come down. Watch the center of the roof collapse. That's what they do with a controlled demolition. So the walls will fall inward, and then they take out the base of the building. Building 7 that came down at 5:20 on the afternoon, on the evening of September 11th, was a controlled demolition. It was all a controlled demolition. The murderers are still on the loose. They needed a justification to go to war. Convince people of that, and they'll join us in this crusade if they have any character, because those murderers there, and they're going to pledge us into a war with Iran and take away our freedom. We're dealing with organized evil, ladies and gentlemen. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America.
This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and hopefully for the next hour they're going to be the views of Stephen Frank, and I'm going to ask Ari if he'll get Stephen Frank on the line so that we won't have to do a monologue for the next hour, because I've asked Stephen Frank to come on. Stephen Frank's been around almost as long as I have. He's been involved in the politics of California. And now that he's retired, he writes a daily, I should say maybe 2 or 3 times a day, email on what's going on in California, what's going on across the country. And really, it's a fascinating analysis of, we recommend Stephen's work. The price is right. He doesn't charge you for it. But he gives you the up-to-date things that are going on here in California. Because what most people don't understand is that California is bankrupt. Totally and completely bankrupt. There is no way we can meet our financial obligations. Certainly, we have a massive bonded indebtedness, and Stephen can correct me, but I think it's somewhere between $60 and $90 billion of bonded indebtedness. We don't have the money. We're having a hard time paying the interest on the bonds, much less paying the bonds off down the line. But we have certainly a pension deficit that really, it looks like, well, I thought initially it was about $500 billion, that's a half a trillion dollars, but it's looking more like the pension deficit here in California is about a three-quarters of a trillion dollars. That it's shortfall in what's been promised to the retirees, and no way we can pay it off. So maybe if Stephen can come on the line and just clarify. Stephen, what is our bonded indebtedness? What is our pension indebtedness here in California?
Well, the pension indebtedness is $525 billion for CalPERS, $52 billion for CalSTRS, which is the teachers' pension, $21 billion for the UC system, $11.5 billion for the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power, and throughout the state, at least $100 billion for cities and counties and other school districts.
That's getting pretty close to three-quarters of a trillion then.
Absolutely. And it is growing. And the more interesting thing is they still, all these pension plans run by the government are still looking at returns and basing the three-quarters of a trillion on returns of between 7.5% and 8%. In reality, the returns are between 3% and 4.5%. So really, Dr. Stan, the unfunded liabilities of the state of California, if the actuaries were listened to, is over $1 trillion.
And, of course, basically Bernie Madoff is only paying 11%, and they're claiming they're going to get 8% with their scheme, with their Ponzi scheme. It is a Ponzi scheme. The money's coming in. Supposedly there's supposed to be money there that, you know, they can pull out. It belongs to the individual. But the money isn't there, and the income is not coming in.
Now, unlike an IRA or a 401k that's in your name and you have your own private account, the pension plan run by the state are not in your name. It's one commingled account for everybody, and everybody gets what's there, and if there's not enough there, everybody gets cut.
And the thing is that there's no way that we can possibly pay this off. I mean, you're talking about massive sums of money. In a recession, people say we're waiting for things to get better when the jobs come back. Ladies and gentlemen, the jobs aren't coming back. They've been sent intentionally overseas as part of a program to lower living standards in America. And without tariffs, and we're not going to get tariffs, the globalists don't want them. Why we're going to keep losing more and more jobs, and of course less and less tax return, and the whole thing begins to crumble. Well, Stephen, you're going to, of course, this evening to, what is the bonded indebtedness of the state of California? Do you recall offhand?
Well, if you ask the question today, it is somewhere around $65 to $67 billion. But that's if the question was asked today. If it is asked around December 1st, less than 2 months from now, it will be add another $15 billion of bonded indebtedness at a minimum. Plus, there is $27 billion of bonds that have been approved but not sold. So you can actually look at the bonded indebtedness of the state of California already incurred or allocated at $100 billion.
Well, basically, you know, who wants to lend money to California today? My understanding is that we've lowered lost our bond rating. It's gone from AAA. I don't know where it is, but I understand it's one of the lowest in the whole country. We're going to have to pay phenomenal interest to borrow money, aren't we?
Well, only Louisiana has a lower bond rating than we do. So we're 49th out of 50, to be specific. Last December, The Treasury Secretary, Democrat Bill Lockyer, had the state legislature pass a bill changing the cap on interest that we could pay on Wall Street from 6% to 14%, which is now the law. So now he can go up to 14%. And, of course, the problem is we just don't have the money to pay this back. Let me just give you one other area that we owe money on, but it's not part of the debt or the deficits, the unemployment insurance fund. I'm going to be doing a story tomorrow morning on the California Political News and Views. We have already borrowed $8.4 billion from the federal government so we can continue to pay our unemployment insurance checks. Now, here's the kicker. Starting next year, we have to pay over $500 million to the feds in interest charges on this money that we've already borrowed, and it cannot come from the unemployment insurance fund. It has to come from the general revenue fund. And so that means that the $9.5 billion deficit that the state of California started with last week when the governor signed the unbalanced budget bill is now $10 billion, but then you have to add another $10 billion that the state is going to borrow to make the budget work. In other words, we are going to be another $20 billion in debt before January 1st.
But wait a minute now. Who are we going to borrow the money from? We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, Stephen Franks, just giving us the background of the bonded indebtedness. It's about $65, $66 billion now, but by December, it'll be another $15, $20 billion. And then, of course, we have all the money that we've borrowed from the federal government that we have to pay back. And now they're planning on borrowing more money from the federal government so we continue paying our unemployment insurance. How are we going to be able to pay all these things off when, of course, we're having a shortfall and declining revenues?
Well, actually, we can't. And when you include the fact that starting January 1st, thanks to Obama and the Washington Democrats, we're going to have a massive tax increase on people from not reinstituting the Bush tax cuts, plus the new taxes that are implemented in Obamacare program that we're going to have to start paying, and the fact that health insurance is now going up next year an average 8% on average nationwide, there'll be less jobs, and the depression that we're in now is going to get so much worse. My belief is that sometime in 2011, we're going to start seeing the dominoes fall and some cities and counties declaring bankruptcy because they can't pay anymore, and the state begging the feds for money, and with the new Republican majority in the House and possibly the Senate, that won't happen, and the $5 billion that they expect to get from the feds, that the feds say we're only going to give you $1.4 billion on, means that an extra $3.6 billion deficit. So now we're talking about the deficit next year starting at $23.6 billion. And that is just totally unsustainable. And we're going to start seeing massive closures of government agencies and massive terminations and layoffs of government workers. Now, in the long run, that's a good thing because most of that is unproductive. Most of that could be done more by technology. It could be done better by non-union labor than the bribe payers who pay unions in order to hold a job. So this may be, in the long run, a very good thing. Dr. Stan, I don't know if I've ever talked to your audience about Dr. Jeffrey Sachs of Harvard.
You know you haven't, so why don't you tell us about Jeffrey Sachs of Harvard?
Well, Jeffrey Sachs is an economist, and when the Soviet Union fell, for some reason they decided to have him as their chief economic advisor, and would figure somebody from Harvard would be a chief economic advisor to the former Soviet Union. But he went there, did a study, and he gave them two words to solve their problem, cold shower. And what by that he meant is you're going to have to take a lot of pain now You got to start cutting back on everything, fire a lot of people, get yourselves in order, create a free market economy, and then you'll be able to save yourselves in 2 to 3 years. But it's going to be a really rough time. And that's what we need here in California, is a cold shower. We need to cut back, get rid of the monopolies, get rid of the special interests, stop the eminent domain theft of private property by local governments, stop the building of stadiums like they're doing in San Diego and San Jose for professional sports teams owned by billionaires, and the poor of those towns are actually going to be paying for the stadiums. That has to stop. And maybe if we can get kids into vouchers and charter schools, we can save even more money and get better quality education. But it will be a very cold shower for those who believe in the, as the Democrats do, as Newt Gingrich talked about, in the paycheck, in the food stamp society, while Republicans believe in the paycheck society.
Well, basically, I think we have about 43 million Americans certainly on food stamps today. Are there 47 million Americans living in poverty? Now, I'm old enough, I can remember back in the mid-1960s hearing that there were 3 million Americans living in poverty. 3 million Americans living in poverty, and they were many of them went to bed hungry every night, or they were eating beans for dinner, and that's why we needed a war on poverty. And so it started about 1965, 1966, and so let's fast forward about 4 years, and after 44 years of a war on poverty, we now have 47 million Americans living in poverty in the United States. What's wrong with this picture? Could it be the war on poverty has actually been encouraging poverty?
Well, Democrats have never won a war. They've looked into it sometimes, but in the last 50 years, World War II is the last war they won. They didn't win Korea. They didn't win Vietnam. We're not winning in Iraq. We're getting out of there, but we're in a position where Lyndon Johnson created a war he could not win, but in the meantime, we have spent $3 to $4 trillion federally on the war on poverty, and we're worse off than we were before because people no longer have the ability to get themselves out of poverty because of so many government regulations. And as you started the program with the story, which is absolutely correct, we don't have the jobs here because our government has shipped our jobs overseas. And speaking of that, just so you know how bad it is, last week Governor Schwarzenegger was in Russia, and he was talking to them about how they could create their own Silicon Valley in Russia, which would mean getting rid of jobs in the Silicon Valley in San Jose, shipping them to Russia. I mean, here's the governor of our state sending our jobs out of state and telling the Russians how to do it. I mean, how much crazier can the world be?
Well, maybe it's like President Obama, who said, you know, we're going to create jobs, you know, we're going to give all this money to General Motors, $60 billion, and we're going to create jobs. And he did create jobs. And he said, we're going to open factories, and he did open factories, but the jobs were in communist China, and the factories were in communist China. And General Motors is turning out over 200,000 cars a month today in communist China. But they're not. However, they are turning out the Volt here in the United States. They lose money on every one they produce, but they're hoping that they can make up the loss on volume.
Well,
losing
no
money
way,
on every car.
There's no way for them to make up the loss on the volume of the Volt, because the Volt, and you said you remember the '60s. Let me make a comparison: the Volt of General Motors coming out later this year, early next year, will be the equivalent of the Edsel put out by Ford.
I was just thinking the same thing.
And the reason for that is they had said that this car would get 210 miles to the gallon. That's what they told us. Now we know it only gets 36 miles to the gallon when it goes from electric to non-electric, and on the electric it only goes 40 miles before you have to spend several hours recharging, and there aren't very many recharging facilities. This is no more than a glorified go-kart that the sticker price is $41,000. but does not include the $15 billion the federal government gave to prop up General Motors, nor the $9.5 billion the Energy Department gave to General Motors to help develop this car. This is the $100,000 car if you allocate all the cost of building it. And the car goes 40 miles one way.
And, of course, basically it only holds four people because the bank of batteries is right in the middle of the back seat. So you've only got one person on either side of the bank of batteries in the front seat and the back seat. You've got a four-place car, nowhere near as good as a Prius, a Toyota that costs about $10,000 more.
Well, actually, I own a Prius.
Do you really?
And I've driven it for a year. This is today or tomorrow is 1 year I've had it. I love the car, and it cost approximately $26,000, and I got some credits on it as well, so I got some money back. But I love the car, and I must admit to you, and maybe we're going to disagree on this, but I really did like the Edsel. I don't understand why people didn't.
Well, I never had an Edsel, so I'm not in a position to offer an opinion one way or the other. But I will tell you that if you can get a Prius for $26,000, do not put out $41,000 for a Volt.
Of course not. My car gets 50. I, as you know, I drive all over the state of California. Last week or week before last, I drove to San Francisco and back in one day, and I got 50 miles to the gallon. And that's what I normally get on my car.
How long will those batteries last?
A minimum of 100,000, and it could be as much as 200,000.
Well, I'll tell you what. Many years ago, the plan was made, it was really a plan, to build better cars in Japan than here in the United States. They've intentionally been creating inferior cars here. If anybody doubts that, they need to hear our four-tape set on the new Order of the Barbarians. We've got the text of this. It is the most amazing series you'll ever hear. I'll put talking about what was put out by the head of the Planned Parenthood, told a group of doctors exactly what was going to happen, and part of it was, we're going to shift automobile production to Japan. Now, this was 1969, and we're going to produce inferior cars in America, and we're going to produce superior cars in Japan. And ladies and gentlemen, if you've got a choice between an American car and a Japanese car, why, of course, you're going to get the Japanese car because it's a better car. But, Stephen, tonight I wanted to get into the initiatives. I know we're getting a lot of requests from people, and they're asking us, what about these Supreme Court judges? You know, how should we be voting on them? So we're going to be taking a little break here for a moment, but I really do want to begin getting into the initiatives here. It's time for voting. People are sending in their absentee votes. In fact, I've already filed my ballot, but I want to know what you think on the various issues out there, how people should vote. I think we'll disagree on one issue. That's the only one, but we'll be back in just a moment. Our guest is Stephen Frank, and Stephen's been around for 50 years. Looking at the political process. And he spends full time now turning out these email directives every day, two or three times a day, to keep you abreast of what's going on in America, to keep you abreast of what's going on in California, and you need to know. Well, Stephen.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Proposition 20 is for redistricting, and basically, of course, the politicians in Sacramento, they do something like gerrymandering. They basically will write up the district so that they can be sure that they'll get reelected. And you can do this because they know how people are voting in various areas, and so they will design districts so that the Democrats always get reelected, and the Republicans always get reelected, and the Republicans, many of them back this, because they know that once they get into position, Assemblyman or Senate, they'll be there forever. They'll never be voted out because of the gerrymandering. And they've actually gone along with this because it's an old boys club, Democrats, Republicans, and they don't have to worry about campaigning. Well, of course, fortunately, a couple of years ago, we passed legislation that said, no, you're not going to be able to play this game. We want representative government. And so basically they had an independent citizens committee that redrew the legislative districts here in California so that you would have fair elections rather than rigged elections, which had been going on for so long. But it did not include congressional elections. Proposition 20 is so that we will have the Citizens Committee, which I hope is honest, draw up the congressional districts as well. Do you think the Citizens Committee is honest, Stephen? This is the thing that bothers me, since it is actually a product of the corrupt people in Sacramento.
Well, actually, I like Proposition 11 that gave us the Assembly and State Senate and Board of Equalization to be redistricted by this commission, and I agree with Proposition 20 because inside the proposition is a formula, and the formula is a very honest and fair one, similar to what the state of Iowa has, and Iowa probably has the fairest redistricting in the country. It's strictly by formula. Actually, all the people do is confirm what the computer says should be the redistricting. You put in all the numbers of where the people are. You put in the different parameters of communities of interest have to stay together and a couple of other parameters, and it comes out very fair. And then the humans actually look at the work of the computer to make sure it was accurate and then approve it. I think Proposition 20 is a good thing if you want absolutely fair redistricting and reapportionment.
And I certainly have voted very much in favor of that. I think it's a great idea, and I really appreciate you explaining how it was done, because I'll have to admit that I believe people are inherently evil, and they will take advantage of the system, but it sounds like this is just about as close to foolproof as we're going to get. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I do. I took a real look at what they do in the state of Iowa before I supported Proposition 11, and I really like what they did. I may not get the districts I want, but I do know that the districts are fair to everybody, and that's all you should be asking of government.
All right, fine. So let's go on then. That's a strong yes on 20. Now, people have to understand that the corrupt people in Sacramento don't want to give up easily, so they put another one in. That's 27. 27 undoes does 20. So if you vote yes on 20, you have to vote no on 27. Is that right?
Well, not only does it undo Proposition 20, it also undo Proposition 11. That we passed previously, and the big donor to this is Nancy Pelosi, and she has raised millions from her congressional colleagues to fight this, and she supports Proposition 27 because she would prefer to do the redistricting than she would prefer having a fair one. And we've already seen what she's done to redistricting and to the finances of this country and to fairness of government. So it's a no on 27 and a yes on 20.
Okay, fine. So let's get to 21.
But 21 really irks me. If you remember, in February of 2009, we had that phony budget that raised all the taxes. One of the taxes that got raised, thanks to Governor Schwarzenegger and the Democrats, is our vehicle tax. They almost doubled our vehicle tax. What Proposition 21 does, it adds another $18 per car, and not for roads, not to maintain or build new roads, or to create safer roads. The $18 goes to the State Park and Wildlife Conservation Trust Fund. Has nothing to do with cars or transportation whatsoever. So the people in Los Angeles who never go to a state park are going to be taxed for those few people who have the time, the energy, and desire to go to a state park. And this is just another way of raising money on a special interest.
Hold that thought. I certainly agree with you. That's a resounding no on 21. We'll be right back. This is Dr. Stan and our guest, Stephen Frank. And, Stephen, let's go on to the next one. Now, 21 was a resounding no. And, of course, they're always trying to find a means of extracting money from the people. Government is like a hungry lion. It just never has enough to eat.
Well, I consider it a tapeworm. And it just eats the insides of you. By the way, every time I do this show, I certainly enjoy the bottom of the hour
when you play Kate Smith singing God Bless America. That is just a great rendition of it.
It really is. I enjoy this that part of it. And basically, this is a new rendition. We had another one before, but we found this one. And this is probably Kate Smith singing back in about 1940. And it's just, well, it's inspiring to me. Thank you so very much for your remark, though. Go right ahead.
Well, Proposition 22 is possibly the most controversial among conservatives and among even liberals. Here's the deal. Proposition 22, if passed, would stop the state of California from taking money from local redevelopment agencies. And if it fails, then the state would be allowed to take money from the local areas of government and use it to cover the deficit. Now, a lot of people that I know are in favor of Proposition 22, but I am opposed to it. And the reason I oppose it is, for an example, the city of San Diego just added $6 billion to the redevelopment slush fund. They went from $3 billion to $9 billion. And part of that money in that one city is to spend about $800,000 to build a football stadium for a privately owned professional football team. I think that's just crazy. If they want a new stadium, they should build it themselves. So one city is adding $6 billion, and they are still going to have the right to use eminent domain, which is government stealing your property. On the other hand, the state government has, and I'll put the word only in quotes.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're talking about Proposition 22, which is one that divides the conservatives here in the state. And basically it has to do with whether the state government can raid the local government redevelopment funds and to steal the money from the local redevelopment funds to use for various state projects, too, because basically they're desperate for money or they can't meet their budget obligations. They can't pay off all their buddies, can't pay off their friends, pay off all the graft. So the state wants to be able to take the money from the local redevelopment projects, and the cities don't want them to. They say this is our money, this is our redevelopment money, you don't have the right to take it. So basically, of course, Stephen's pointing out that in San Diego, they're going to build something $6 to $9 billion football stadium. Why is the public building a football stadium for a private football team? And because Stephen thinks this is atrocious. And I do as well. We cannot afford this sort of thing. We're going to have to make drastic cuts in football, in police, and fire, and every one of the public services, and they're going to waste all this money on a football stadium? I'll go right ahead, Stephen.
The kicker to it in San Diego is that instead, since they're not using tax dollars, they're using developer money that's forced to be put into redevelopment funds, the public doesn't even get a right to vote on whether or not there's a football stadium and this money is used. Now, on the other hand, and I said that was just one example of one city. On the other hand, the state of California has so far stolen $4 to $5 billion from the local redevelopment agencies. And my point of view is probably $15 to $20 billion will be stolen by local communities, $4 or $5 billion would be stolen by the state, and therefore I'm a no vote on this so that less money is stolen from the people.
Well, basically, where does redevelopment get its funding? Is that bonded, money? Do they sell bonds to raise the money or what?
No, if let's say you own a big piece of property in downtown Monterey, and it's going to cost you $100 billion to build it, and if you build it, you'll be paying $2.5 million a year in property taxes to begin with. But if it's in a redevelopment area, part of that money, those tax dollars, go to a redevelopment fund so they could loan out money to give to their special interest friends who want to build projects like yours. And you probably got low-interest loans from the redevelopment agency or grants of money to build your property. It's all a slush fund for the special interest
and the donors who give to city council members and to county boards of supervisors. It's not a good way of development. It's a way for rich people to get richer off the backs of the poor, because the less money that goes into the general revenue, the higher the taxes have to be to pay for the police and fire protection and libraries and roads and all that.
Well, unfortunately, people are basically corrupt, and when you put them into positions of power in government, most of them, not all of them, but most of them or many of them, are going to simply utilize that, you know, for their own personal advantage. It's only human nature. Yes, you will have some wonderful dedicated public servants who are there to really help, but so many of the people, when they get into positions of power, will misuse power because power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely everyone. Go right ahead, Stephen. So you're a no vote on 22.
Right, I'm a no vote on that.
Would you criticize people who voted yes on that?
No, I don't, because the state is evil, the local redevelopment agencies are evil, and the choice here is evil versus evil. And regardless of which side wins, evil does win.
And it's the vote of the lesser of two evils, and this is probably the only place I did for with Stephen on, and he may very well be right. I don't know how to vote, but I did vote yes. Stephen says a no, and you're going to listen to his ideas on it. He's probably done a lot more studying than I have on it, and I value his opinion.
So, well, that's what makes America great. We can have differences of opinion on ballot propositions or candidates, and still move on as friends.
Well, let's go ahead to Proposition 23.
23 is the California Jobs Initiative. This is the ballot measure that rolls back AB 32 until the state of California has, for four consecutive quarters, 5.5% or less unemployment. And, you know, we've already lost tens of thousands of jobs to AB 32. We now know that the formula used by the California Air Resources Board to help create the formulas inside of AB 32 were incorrect by 340%. It was an absolute total fraud.
Now, for our listeners, basically this has to do with diesel fuel emissions. It has to do with the idea of clean air, and basically they said the diesel fuel emissions were so high, and this is why we had to have the cap and trade, and they were off about, they've admitted, over 350%. They lied when they got the proposition of 36 through. But anyway,
well, it's Proposition 23.
But I know, but it was just to counter this previous one.
Right.
And basically, ladies and gentlemen, what this would do would be, because if you have diesel trucks here, you're going to have to get rid of those diesel trucks and get diesel trucks that have certainly produce less emissions. And the same thing would be true with tractors. This was designed to wreck our economy. There really are people who want to destroy the economy of our country, and specifically of California. George Shultz is one of the people who is against Proposition 23. In other words, he wants to keep these destructive regulations in place. And George Shultz represents what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness, and they're putting up a lot of money to defeat Proposition 23. Proposition 23 puts this other crazy legislation on hold till the unemployment rate here in California gets to 5.5%, and hopefully, it's not going to get there for an awful long time. I don't think it'll ever get there again. So basically, this essentially kills Prop 33, which was based upon lies, and the other side is furious. And Proposition 23 will help our economy. If we defeat it, it will destroy it. Go ahead.
Well, you're absolutely correct about that. And this is an opportunity for the people of California to tell Sacramento, stop being ideological, be factual, and stop lying to the folks. You're costing us jobs and families and homes. The next measure is Proposition 24, which is also one of my favorites. This one repeals corporate tax loopholes. It's an act. And what it does, if you remember, in February of 2009, we had that phony budget that raised income taxes over a period of time by $25 billion, doubled the vehicle tax, added another cent to the sales tax, and raised all sorts of other taxes, the largest tax increase in the history of any state in one shot. But as a bid to get the Chamber of Commerce to buy onto it, which they did stupidly, and to get other business leaders to sign on to it, they created a series of tax credits, but the tax credits don't become effective till January 1st, 2011. And so the Democrats who agreed to the tax credits to pass a bad budget in February of 2009 are now in 2010 trying to get rid of those tax credits via a ballot measure. This will cost businesses $1.4 billion a year, which means that would be $1.4 billion less for businesses to create jobs. So the choice is this. Do you want $1.4 billion per year to go to government, or do you want it to go to the private sector to create jobs? And I, of course, am voting no on 24. I think those tax credits are needed, especially when you're in the middle of a depression. You need to have every opportunity to create jobs.
Agreed, absolutely. And basically anything where they want to increase taxes, if you love this country, you're going to vote against it. Because believe me, the only way to bring government under control is to control the money that it has. Basically, they have all sorts of special provisions for their friends and buddies and corruption. And basically, the politicians, unfortunately, many of them are there, not because they want to be public servants, but they want to enslave the people. Go right ahead.
Well, then we have Proposition 25, which is another effort by the liberals to raise our taxes. And they do it in a very funny way here. If Proposition 25 passes, it's called the On-Time Budget Act. And if the budget is not approved in a timely fashion per the law by the date set, then the legislature and the staff will not get paid for that time until the budget is passed. And that sounds very good, and I like that idea.
But
is, instead of having a two-thirds vote to pass the budget, it only has a majority vote to pass the budget. And then in the middle of all this, where they say that taxes still have to be passed by two-thirds, they use some weasel words that attorneys say vitiate Proposition 13, and we're going to wind up with higher taxes. The other way to look at this, so let's say the people in Sacramento by majority vote that they pass a budget that spends $100 billion, but they only have $80 billion worth of revenues. Now, are you going to tell the schools we're going to cut you because we're not raising taxes? Are we going to fire police officers because we're not willing to raise taxes? This type of budget is going to be used by government, by Sacramento, to leverage people into saying, well, as long as I get my little share, I don't care if taxes go up. And that's the problem that Proposition 25 provides us.
And I think basically they do it, oh my goodness, we're going to get back at those nasty legislators, they're not going to get paid, you know, unless they have a budget on time, and we want to then be able to raise taxes with 50%. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a dangerous, dangerous situation. They're lying to the American people about it.
Well, that's absolutely sure, and this is what they really want. Of all the ballot measures, this is the one that they really want, because once they get this, there's no stopping the Democrats from raising our taxes, from spending money that we don't have, and pushing us quicker into the tank that we're going to get into next year anyway. The next item is Proposition 26, which is a constitutional amendment, and this is a really good one. As you know, it takes a two-thirds vote currently under Proposition 13, for the legislature to pass tax increases. Well, if this passes, you cannot increase fees or levies or any other revenue without a two-thirds vote. What the Democrats have done is called a tax a fee and then say, now we only have to pass it by 50% plus one. And so that's what they've been doing the last 4 years with the assistance of Governor Schwarzenegger. They have been passing all sorts of taxes on us, but if they call it a fee, then it only needs a majority vote. So to get around that, to stop that from occurring, the Howard Jarvis Association and others have created this proposition, Prop 26, which will stop the legislature and the governor from raising fees and levies and other revenues along with taxes without a two-thirds vote.
And so that's a definite no, huh?
No, this is a yes.
Oh, this is a yes, okay.
Because you don't want to have fees increased without a two-thirds vote. You don't want fees, taxes to be called fees so they could, as they say, fee you to death. This is one way to hold down the revenues of the state. And in reality, the state has more than enough revenues to do its legitimate business. The problem is it does so much illegitimate business that we're in the position where next year we'll have to declare insolvency in the state of California.
And basically we are talking about declaring insolvency. So this is a yes, and then I assume the next one, 27, is a resounding...
That's a no. That's what we've talked about. And the funny thing is this has to do with redistricting, and the name of it on the ballot is Financial Accountability in Redistricting Act. Now, how many people are opposed to financial accountability in redistricting? I can't think of anybody that would be opposed to that. The problem is that's not what this bill, that this proposition does. It has nothing to do with financial accountability. What it does is it gives the right to reapportion our legislative districts back to the folks in the smoke-filled rooms. Democrat with the sign on the door that says Democrats only.
And so I think that basically, remember, it's yes on 20 and no on 27.
That's correct.
Now, do you know anything at all about the Supreme Court justices? People have asked about that, and I really don't know any of these people, except I don't have much confidence in any of the recent Supreme Court justices. Do you know any of them and how we should vote on them?
Well, there is a website called judgevoterguide.com, and I think it's one of the best. It doesn't give all the judges throughout the state, but it does give the state Supreme Court justices. And there are three justices that are up for election this year. And the criteria used by the... this organization, Judge Voter Guide, is whether or not these are judicial activists or are they strict constructionists. Do they create the law or do they follow the law? And as far as I'm concerned, I certainly prefer, and I think you do as well, strict constructionists versus judicial activists who decide based on the weather or the latest column they read in the New York Times as to how to decide a case.
How about these three judges who are on this on the ballot?
Carlos Moreno, he is a do not recommend, and he has been very liberal, as I know, from his decisions. Ming Chin, who's also very liberal, and the last, that's a do not recommend. And the last one is Tani Cantel Fayaki, who was just appointed by Governor Schwarzenegger. Now, just the fact that this person was appointed by Schwarzenegger tells me, look out. And this person, as a human being, is one of the really sincere, compassionate people. Unfortunately, she prefers activism to being a strict constructionist.
In other words, basically you're saying no on all three of them.
No on all three.
Well, that's how I voted. So basically, ladies and gentlemen, we've got corruption in our courts. And you go back and read Samuel chapter 8. You know, and the reason, I think it's 2 Samuel. And the reason, of course, that the people wanted a king was because the judges were corrupt. I mean, they had an ideal society, you know, where, of course, they did not have a king. And they went to Samuel. The judges were actually Samuel's sons. And they went to Samuel and said, the judges are corrupt. We want a king. Well, ladies and gentlemen, when you got corrupt judges, that's the problem we have. We need to get God and belief in God back in our schools, or we're going to lose America. Stephen, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, I always enjoy my time with you, Doctor.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
Controller. As far as the other things, other physicians, you're just going to have to do some checking. And I will tell you, I voted for the only time I've ever voted for a Democrat in all my life that I can remember. I voted for the Democratic Secretary of State 4 years ago. Why did I vote for her? Because she said she was going to actually check the voting machines and see if they were accurate. She checked them. The electronic voting machines were all crooked. They could all be manipulated. And she did away with them here in California. I voted for her again because I think she's an honest person. She's a Democrat. I don't care if these. I got a pointed head. Whether Democrat or Republican, I think if we want an honest person, I will tell you that was the most important thing that could possibly be done. Bruce McPherson, who was the Secretary of State, of course, he going right along with the crooked voting machines. I've known Bruce for a long time. Let's put it this way. I voted for the Democrat 4 years ago for Secretary of State, and I will vote for her again this time. Certainly the other issues, when I don't know how to vote, why I usually vote for the a Republican on the Lieutenant Governor, Abel Maldonado, who betrayed the Republicans. I voted, couldn't vote for the Democrat. I simply voted for the American Independent Party candidate there. And then, of course, the voting for the governor here. Certainly, Shalene Nightingale is a wonderful, wonderful woman, and she's running for the governorship, but I think it's either going to be Meg Whitman or Jerry Brown, and you're going to have to make a choice of which one you want. Who do you think would do the best for the state? I wish Shalene could win the election, but I think we have to be realistic. It's going to be Meg Whitman or Jerry Brown. Which one do you want? Well, we can do that'll be a subject for another evening here. Under any circumstances, this is the time I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. And if you're out there in the listening audience and you have any, would like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, if you believe, as I do, that we're involved in a spiritual battle being carried out on a political and ideological battlefield, why give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you would like, of course, to get our material, certainly the way to understand what we're all about is to read The Brotherhood of Darkness or watch the DVD by that title. If you can't afford it, go to our website, radioliberty.com, and there under the section on videos, where you'll find my presentation, Brotherhood of Darkness. If you can stand to listen to me talk for 2 hours uninterrupted, you'll learn a great deal about who really runs America and why our politicians do what they do, and why the Supreme Court took God and prayer out of our schools. It's all there in the Brotherhood of Darkness, information you won't get elsewhere. It's in about its 8th or 9th or 10th printing. I don't know where it is now, but we're getting it out all across America, and you need to help it. Get it out. If you haven't read it, why, give us a call and order it. If you'd like to, it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we also hope that you want to get some of the other items we have, Pastor Billy Crone's excellent DVDs on the Final Countdown, on The Fearful Creation, on RFID, Dr. Catherine Albrecht's excellent DVD on the Surveillance Society. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're moving towards a police state. You need to get my talk on the planned police state, and the syllabus goes with that. My talk on planned population reduction, because they really do intend to kill off most of the people in the world. And you say, why would anybody in their right mind want to do that? And the answer is, we're not dealing with people in their right mind. We're dealing with people who worship a different God. Please pray for America, pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. My number, 1-800-544-8927. May the Lord be with you.
Tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is 14 October. Wow. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for caring about everything going on in your world. I think you're going to enjoy today's program. A little bit of a different take, because we're going to have a guest coming on later who is going to talk in terms of eating meat. That's right. She calls herself a recovering vegan. And I think you're going to find it interesting as Pam Kyleen talks about addictions and the problem that we have in addictions, all kinds of addictions in this country, and then the answer. And what she feels is lacking in people's diet that leads to addictions. A very interesting take. She's done a tremendous amount of research on that. And then in the third hour, Joe Alexander will join us. That's right, our own Joe Alexander, because he's going to talk about the three things that made a huge difference in his life. Now, we need to find out what works, and that's what we're all about here at the Power Hour. We don't know what the one answer is, because there is no one answer. I may do something different than what you do. It's not my job to tell you what to do or vice versa. What we do is we find what works for us. And so we're going to offer you the whole buffet of items, if you will, and you decide what works for you. Let's talk about what's in the news today because, well, big news in New York City yesterday. If you didn't hear it at 1:30 in the afternoon, it appears there were UFO-like items in the sky. It had been blogged about and talked about on October 13th that there would be perhaps the ability to see some UFOs. Now, this is not a UFO channel. We don't deal in UFOs. But you know what? When there's something in the sky that people can't figure out what it is, I think it needs to be looked at. We will talk about that. I mean, if you looked at the streets in New York City, they were all just standing around. I mean, it was amazing how many people had gathered to look up in the sky to try to see what was happening. I don't know, but you know what? I know that the government knows. It's not one of those, gee, we can't figure that out. If anybody knows what those shiny things are in the sky, would you let us know? No, it's not that. They know. So whether it was real or not, fake, Memorex, I don't know. We'll talk about that. Glenn Beck was back from his absence for a couple of days while he was recuperating from his testing that he did. And I'm going to talk about it a little bit because he brought up quite strongly, where he was, what he was doing, and the fact that he started out by saying, no, I'm not dying, much to the dismay of my bloggers. Kind of an interesting thing to say. And while he was in his absence, his people took on the Alex Jones Show and their information in attacking him with the Diet Coke. So we'll talk about the Diet Coke issue and what that's why I think that that is probably relevant. Earthquake in Norman, Oklahoma, 4.5 on the Richter scale. A little shock there would be a shock to any of us, I can assure you. A shock to the people in Norman, Oklahoma, as they were, quite accustomed to having tornadoes, but not earthquakes. Futures are up in the market. If you have not heard about gold already today, it's a little bit scary. You don't want to see anything go this high this fast, but the last time I looked at it, it was...